And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you so much for joining us here on the program. You do know, if you've listened for any length of time, that we do come your way on Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Monday mornings at 1 a.m., and that's on the radio broadcast, streaming live at those times as well. But the podcasts are available 24/7 at SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Stitcher, as well as not only the homepage, but also the radio show's page at richarddugan.com. Go to those pages, go to those websites, and type in Tell Me Your Story and or Richard Dugan, and I think it'll take you right there. And, you know, we put them up as regularly as we possibly can, and we encourage you to listen to them. We also want you to know that sometimes these interviews run longer than the radio broadcast. The radio broadcast is only 50 minutes long, 50 minutes long. And we sometimes add 10 or 15, 20, 25 minutes of great information, insight, inspiration. So we encourage you to listen to the entire interview by going to the podcast locations. We also would love to let you know that our guest's website will be given here in the program. So stay tuned for that as well so that you can continue your evolutionary process. And we encourage you to do that. Also, if you'd like to support what we're doing, if what we're doing here on the Tell Me Your Story radio broadcasts resonates with you, you like what we're doing and you'd like to help us out, we're open to that. We greatly appreciate it. We're more than thankful. We have a PayPal account that you can donate or support, send your support to, and any amount is welcome. And again, we are greatly appreciative of that and even some energetic energy. Send us some great energy. We also, if you have ideas, guest suggestions, people you think who are doing the same kinds of thing, looking for those new ways of living and making a better life for themselves and the people around them, let us know. Send an email to TMYS for Tell Me Your Story. That's TMYS at richarddugan.com. All right, enough of the preliminaries out of the way. It is time now for us to get down to basics as far as something that I personally, and I've shared this on the program before, have never really done, not in the conventional sense. There's never been one person per se or one philosophy that I have abided by. I'm a metaphysician, and I take in all the different philosophies and put together my philosophy for me. I don't put it on anybody else. And I know that many folks are searching for a particular place to call home, philosophically, spiritually. We're going to talk with a woman today who is going to help us to do that. If that's something that is near and dear, deep down inside you, there's somebody out there that I know I need a mentor. I need somebody to guide me through certain parts of what's going on in my life. Well, today we're going to find out how you can do that. Finding Your Coach is the title of the book. Diving Deep Within with Melinda Kelly. And Melinda, thank you so much for joining us here on the program.
Thank you so very much for having me here. I'm delighted to be here.
You know, as I've traveled through my life, born and raised a Roman Catholic, Western Rite, also had experiences in the Eastern Rite of the Catholic Church through my first marriage. Lived next door to a family of 11 Mormons and actually attended a service. And after that, my mother said, "Doesn't count. You got to go to Mass." I was a Baha'i in the early, mid-1990s. I have studied, of course, a lot of the Eastern mysticism. My metaphysical primer was Autobiography of a Yogi, which I still read regularly. A dear friend of mine gave me a wonderful book that she said that if she was ever trapped on a desert island, it was the only book she would ever take with her. And that is The Impersonal Life by a gentleman by the name of James Banner back in the 1930s. I've also read Johannes Graeber's Communication with the Spirit World of God and, gosh, dozens and dozens of other books. And I've attended Unity and I've had guests on with Scientology. I've had atheists on this program as well. There's a philosophy there too, folks. And yet there's never been a desire on my part to seek out one individual, even for a period of, you know, an extended period of time that I felt I needed to follow. I needed to adhere to a set of practices and so forth. But obviously there are people who are seeking. Talk to us a little bit about that aspect of our humanness and the connection with our spirituality, that we seem to have that desire, that need to find a mentor, a coach, a guide, if you will, to help us through.
I'd be happy to. And I can very much appreciate your path. And I was trying to write down all the authors you were writing, you were listing.
Well, there are many more, but we can get into that later.
But it is fascinating. Once you open up, you start seeing more and more and more. And I was also raised Roman Catholic. I think anytime you have a basis in faith, it gives you a starting place to explore further. And very thankful for that. I was also raised by a father who was taught by the Jesuits, which the Jesuits are all about the questions and getting something done. And it creates a very interesting mindset that you don't realize you have as a child that will serve you through your life. And my life, I have to say, has been, fortunately, knock on wood, a fairly nice one. And it wasn't until I was in my 30s that was the first time I had something hit me that I didn't know what to do. And I realized now I had a full-fledged panic attack. With that, I didn't know what to do and, of course, went to a doctor. They had the usual answer is to drug me up. But I somehow understood that that wasn't the answer. There was something deeper. And was fortunate to have a friend who suggested a therapist and went and spoke with them. And in the treatment, there was a lot that was addressed that was fabulous. But even at the time, I was cognizant that I was holding back at some level and didn't fully avail myself of what they may have offered me. Went through life, continued, things were going quite nicely. I was fortunate to be able to work in the family business and have the benefit of working with a parent. Some might also say the adventure of working with a parent. And this past decade, I had three things hit in my life all at once that made me question, where am I going? And I didn't have the answers. And even making a transition, I wasn't sure where to go. And I like to think I was smart enough to know I was dumb. And sometimes that's a really hard thing to admit. And that's when I started taking classes and going to webinars and conferences and was trying to, I guess, collect the energy, the knowledge, the wisdom, the courage to make a major transition in my life. And that's sort of where the genesis of finding a coach, diving deep within, started, because I was fortunate to be working with a lot of great thought leaders, of people that have a huge following that really are benefiting others. And yet somehow I wasn't bringing it all home.
Hmm. Well, I have to say one of the things that has sort of perplexed me over the years is the fact that there are so many individuals who, and maybe rightly so, I don't know, but at the same time, I also know that there are those who have been not so benevolent, if you will, and genuine, who they take on the mantle, all right? They just do. I have the answers. And if you will but follow me, I will guide you to, you know, nirvana or whatever the place in time and space might be. And again, we've had people who have done that for not such benevolent reasons, and many people follow that person because they are looking for something, aren't they? I mean, it's like it's not that they're being deceived in the sense that that's what they're looking for, to be deceived. They're genuinely looking, and somebody takes advantage of that vulnerability. But then there are others, and I have to say that, and I say this in all humility, when I was 21 and I was conducting many interviews even back then, and I was asking some very interesting questions, apparently, and someone said to me something that at the time I thought, is this a good thing? They said, Richard, you're wise beyond your years. And ooh. At first I thought, oh, I don't know if I like that, because, you know, that's a heavy thing to lay on someone, you know? And at the same time, the other thought was, am I going to be able to keep up pace? In other words, as I get older, will my wisdom outpace my aging, you know, kind of thing? But I've never set myself up as any kind of oracle or font of wisdom. I mean, I've been searching just like everybody else, like you. I don't have all the answers. That's why I'm coming to you. You have all the answers, don't you?
Oh, I love you for that. That's so cute. I have a few answers that I'm happy to share.
And that's what this program's all about, is sharing those answers, sharing those insights that sometimes, and I'm sure you've experienced this, Melinda, that you come across two different sources that are totally independent of one another. Now, for those who don't believe in how we are all connected, that's pretty astonishing. That how could that person from so far away, living on a desert island with no connectivity, come up with that concept that this person over here came up with right around the same time? You know, that's for some folks, that's like, that's a miracle. That's supernatural, right? But it isn't really.
Well, I was going to say, or you can also believe that there's all sorts of wonderful things floating around asking for a home.
Yeah.
And it's just whoever decides to take them in and share them.
So for those who are looking, who are searching, who are genuinely wanting to find their place in the universe and their place in the grand scheme of things, what's one of the first steps? Obviously, the desire. I feel the need to be a devotee, a disciple, if you will, a follower, because I'm not strong enough on my own. Is that a safe place to be? How do you address something like that?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a matter of strength. I'm not strong enough on my own. I almost feel it's more an acknowledgement of, I need a little help. I'm willing to be vulnerable. I'm willing to be open. I'm honest that I don't have it all. Because I feel sometimes when we make it about strength, or I'm this or I'm that, that we set up a bar that we're somehow wanting, and not in a good way. And this is one where I feel we're more searching. So we're trying to add to our life rather than coming at it from a deficit. And I would say with that, we have to really be honest. We've all purchased something to change our life and let it sit in the back room, in the closet. Wanting to buy the service or buy the product isn't what does it. It's opening it up, and be it from an exercise device to a book on self-improvement to anything, tangibly holding it doesn't change our life. Being willing to open it and do the work and be honest that we're going to commit to this, that's where the change and the possibilities start.
What about you? What about your path? And now, you know, you use the word coach, finding your coach. But we're talking semantics here now, because we're talking about the same kind of thing, right?
Right.
Finding a coach, diving deep within. My guest today is Melinda Kelly, and we're talking about all of this. And I'm curious about you, folks. Have you contemplated hiring a coach for life, business, or or specific issues in your life. Now, that's something that also is very interesting because, you know, life coaches are a dime a dozen in one sense. They cost a little more than a dime sometimes, but nonetheless, they are there and hopefully genuinely wanting to guide you. If I was to become a life coach for anyone, my bottom line philosophy would be, I want you to be successful, not me. Because if you are successful, then guess what? I'm successful. But it doesn't start with me. Is that maybe the premise? I mean, we have the internet. We can do all kinds of searches. You know, we can do background checks on people left and right, go to Facebook, see if they're there, see what they've posted, et cetera, et cetera. What is, let's maybe start with something like that. How do we begin the process of finding someone, or do we try to get into more of a spiritual state, a meditative state, and sort of ask the universe to bring whoever it is into my life? What is your suggestion?
Oh, I have all sorts for you.
Please.
I would say certainly to ask whoever you put your trust, your faith into in the universe to send you good people is always a fabulous start. I ask friends. I believe in, trust but verify. I signed up for a course through a reputable community ongoing education program for a writing coach forever ago. And I went to the first session full of hope and excitement and took the assignment home, dutifully did it. The next meeting, the woman savaged it. And I was sort of shocked. I couldn't see how that was a constructive way to help me. But I took all her notes and redid everything as she requested and came back. And the next week, she savaged it. And by the fourth week this happened, and people were coming up and going, I liked what you did. I realized there was something wrong between her and me. And I don't know if in a past life I stepped on her toe, but it wasn't a healthy environment. And I didn't realize for a long time how much it scarred me, because it really made me question if I could or should write. And we all get bruises, and some heal very slowly. And that was a bruise that healed very slowly. When I went to a therapist, I spoke with a friend that I trusted. And when I met the person, I trusted them and felt safe. And I really do believe we should trust our instincts. We know, sometimes it makes no sense, but we know. And it never does you wrong to sit there and say, thank you so very much. Lovely to meet you, but I've reconsidered what I'm going to do.
Is it important for us to go into something like this, knowing what it is that we're wanting to gain, not just specifically from the individual, but from the coaching? As opposed to saying, I need guidance. I don't know where. I just need guidance. And it's almost, you're opening yourself up in one sense in that regard to maybe being taken advantage of in that regard. Is that the a clear intent is important here?
Oh, my heavens, yes. Oh, thank you for raising that. That's such an excellent point. I like to think sometimes I may be a little confused, but I like living this way, that people are coming from their truest place. And for the most part, I believe people are, but you are going to meet people that aren't. If we don't know the question we need to get answered, we can go down a rabbit hole of all sorts of other things. And whether it's you're looking for your business, and you're not understanding perhaps why your social media isn't working, or you're trying to decide how to change professions because you're tired of what you're doing, or if you have serious questions within your being, you need to know where you want to get. We wouldn't get on the highway and not know where we were planning on going. I mean, we could, but it means you're going to have a very long trip before you find out where you're going.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there are some great movies and I'm sure books as well about people who get in their car, their truck, their RV, what have you, and just point it and away they go. And they're just saying, you know, and whatever comes will come. And that's exactly what'll come, whatever.
And see, and that's what you do with people you love, and you have a road trip and an adventure, and life is good.
Yeah.
But that's not a way when you're questioning to approach things, in my opinion, because then whose needs get met? Maybe yours. But if you're going to someone that sells sourdough French bread and you just want a loaf of wheat, no matter how long you keep going to that bakery, you're never going to get your needs.
This is true. This is true. Let's talk a little bit here about this aspect of finding your coach. And again, the subtitle, Diving Deep Within. That's an area we're going to get into right now. I wanted to let you folks know that this book is available through not only, I'm sure, Amazon, as well as other outlets, and MelindaJKelly.com will be linked to your website. Also, you're on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube. I'm running out of breath here because you're just everywhere. We're trying to do the same thing with this program. But some questions that are interesting to contemplate. And maybe we'll go through some of these as we continue on in the program here. But let's talk about this aspect of diving deep within. First of all, what does that mean?
Well, at least to me, because you hear we're going to dive in, we're going to dive deep, it seems to be everywhere right now. So I apparently jumped on a phrase that's all over, was not the intent, but to me, diving deep within is, on the surface, all I want is for you to make this better. And so I'm looking at you to fix my problem. But if there's a problem, I made it. So how did I make it? Or how did I get here? Whatever it is that I'm looking for, there was something within me that either created it or couldn't get me to the next place. And sometimes it's being able to own that that allows you to open up and let more information in. One of my phrases, and I've said this and people often agree with me, sometimes we are so smart, we're stupid. Mm. We're so busy, we know what to do, we know how to get there, we know what to do. And somebody says something, oh, I've always done it this way. And we look at them because we never, ever thought that. And it's easier and smarter and faster. But we know what we know. And so I know I've done this. I would bet I'm probably not alone.
I used to think that there was something wrong with me because I didn't have someone that I was following. How about those folks? It's not an ego thing. It's not a personality thing. I've never found anyone that I resonated with to that level. But I've also never had the desire to seek out one. Maybe it's something in my past lives that I was following all these other people, and I finally gotten into this life saying, you don't need to follow anyone else. You don't need any help from anyone else on a long-term basis. And that would be another good question to ask you, and that is, how long should I stay with this person if I do come across someone? Should I set up I'll be with you for a year or 6 months or just today? I realize that's very linear, that's very material, that's very human, it's not very spiritual, but at the same time, it's still a question that I know a lot of people are concerned about, because it's like, okay, I start with this person, am I going to be with them in my 60s and in my 70s and in my 80s, that kind of thing?
Oh, boy, I agree with you. Well, first I was going to say, I don't know if I'm a follower or a devotee, but I have found people whose philosophy I appreciate and I vibe with. And so I look upon it now as I went to them for some information and I stay in touch because they share things that can be beneficial and I enjoy that. I'm fortunate that the people that I've chosen to work with, there's more than just I paid you money and thank you, that there's an actual relationship with. There are also people that I've encountered that are fabulous, but they're not for me. And so I wish them every success and appreciate that we just approach things very differently and are on different trajectories. I think it was Woody Allen who, Lord love him, was always in therapy. And there is sort of that, there's a mixed desires, because for any, you know, therapist, psychiatrist, coach, whatever, how lovely to have this cash cow that just keeps showing up. Mm-hmm. But if you're viewing your client as a cash cow, then you're not really taking care of their needs. I have seen working with a coach as generally something that is a finite experience where you're going to them, getting your immediate questions answered, implementing it, and then either moving forward to someone to further different needs. And if they have something else that you might appreciate, going back. But I don't know that it should be a lifelong financial relationship. But it should be something where you mutually benefit, and perhaps financially at first, but then spiritually, wisdom, sharing, whatever, down the road. And we're so fortunate now between Facebook and all these other things that people can share in ways they never could before.
Yeah, that is true. And it's interesting, too, that I have a dear friend. I have known her for 40 years this August. And over the course of time, after getting over my huge crush on this woman when I was in my early 20s, she was married to another man, and I contemplated doing him in so that I could fill his shoes, but it was never anything serious. We became very good friends. She became my acting coach. She also became what I refer to as a mentor, just because of the things that she would share with me. And she was also the one who gave me the copy of The Impersonal Life. And one day we were chatting, and this was just recently, and I said, I just wanted you to know how much I appreciate our relationship, and I consider you a mentor. She didn't like that. She wasn't angry. She says, well, I really don't care for that. I just think we're very good friends, which, you know, again, I thought we were too. But I've kind of looked at her that way because of some of the wonderful insights that she shared with me. But there's some folks who don't want to be. You know how we had a lot of this issue back in the 80s and early 90s with sports figures and this whole issue of role models? Mm-hmm. I'm not a role model. I'm a basketball player. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? You're a role model because you're in the public eye and kids and adults see you all the time. So, you know, you can't escape it.
Well, I could understand how if I'm your friend and I'm sharing and helping and giving to you, I don't see myself as a mentor. This is, we're friends. Of course I want to help you. So I can see how suddenly being deemed a mentor would be like, What are you talking about? You're my friend. That's why we did all this. And I think it's a very lovely statement of her great affection for you, that she's always wanted you to succeed. I mean, those are the best friends that believe in you when sometimes you don't believe in yourself, that see where you could be even ahead of you.
Well, and of course, I appreciated what she said, and so I don't refer to her in that fashion anymore, to her or with anybody else. She is just a very good friend who's, you know, and I'm just grateful for the relationship we've had. She's taught me a lot about acting as well. I have to share a funny story that in our acting class that I participated in, and this was because of the relationship I was in at the time, she would never let me do any romantic scenes.
Now that is a good friend.
Yeah, she says, "I know, I know you want to, but no, we're not going to risk it."
I want you to be happy and healthy.
Exactly. This is fascinating. We're going to continue talking more about this. We're going to get into some of these other questions here. The seven questions to ask yourself when you start working with a coach. The seven questions you should ask yourself about how you learn. That's a very good aspect of, again, this aspect of diving deep within. Four questions about how to ask yourself how to embark on your new course, as well as the aspects of happiness, success, and are they the same or are they different? Maybe we'll start there in our next segment here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, and please stay with us.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, and I am joined today by Melinda Kelly, and we're talking about the latest work she has out called Finding Your Coach, Diving Deep Within. And I'm just curious, let's start here where I left off as we went to break, about this aspect of happiness and success. And we've talked with many of our guests about their not only definitions of the words, but are they the same, are they different? And I often joke about our Declaration of Independence that talks about how we have these inalienable rights of life, liberty, which we get. In that document, it says, those are yours. Here you are. Here's a certificate of authenticity. You have those. Ah, but happiness? No. I can't give you a certificate of authenticity. All you can do is pursue it. And it's like, really? That's not fair.
Where's the guidebook?
Yeah, exactly. Where? Please tell me where it is. But what are the differences or similarities here between happiness and success? Because a lot of people have gotten that kind of confused.
I would greatly agree with you on that. I received on my 18th birthday a little button box that had on it, success is getting what you want, but happiness is wanting what you get. And it's taken me a long time to really fully register what that meant. And especially in this world of ours where we seem to focus solely on success and only one element of success, the financial element. And yet I can think of so many people that are quote unquote successful, but I don't know that we'd say they're happy. And I think that's something for us to really look at, because if we're valuing success but not happiness, then we've already lost our pursuit of happiness because we're chasing the wrong dream. But I don't believe they're mutually exclusive. But I believe you have to really think about what you're doing.
Well, it is something that we do have to think about because of the fact that we have to find out what it is that we want. And that goes to the questions about not only intent, as we mentioned earlier, but also understanding how we learn. I mean, my present wife and I, we learn differently. She talks quite a bit about the struggles she's had over the years because of her dyslexia. And yet the woman is very intelligent. She's very accomplished. and so forth. So how do we begin the process of that self-evaluation to determine this best way so that maybe we need to share with the person that we are now resonating with, and maybe we are employing, if you will, or paying. I want to learn from you, but I need you to know this is where I'm coming from, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Well, and thank you for that. I realize that I love a good conference. So I guess I have a danger of being a conference junkie. And for me, there's an energy, there's the one-on-one, there's the people you meet, there's the bouncing up. But that's not always a very practical way of life, because it means you have to travel, you have to take a large amount of time. That there are great benefits from it, but it does come at a cost, time-wise, physically, financially. I realize that I hate to admit this, but I can be on a webinar and the talking head droning at me can put me to sleep. And I'm not really getting very much if I start going and checking my Facebook or answering emails. So I know that if I'm doing a webinar, the best way for me to do it is probably on my phone, so I can't multitask. That's something I realized. As you were talking about, you know, your wife with her dyslexia, I have a very dear friend who's a slow reader. And I so respect that she slogs through it, because so often the most intelligent people do have an issue that they've learned to work around. And so the knowledge when they get it is golden. We all have, and there are people that they need to read it, and they need to take it in with the written word and be able to mull it over. And there are other people that need the verbal exchange. They need the one-on-one. They need the urgency of questioning you and asking you, well, what do you think about this? That benefits them. And then there are also people that learn best by doing it. So having a series of exercises triggers them to understand what they need to do best. If you ask them a question right away, they love to answer it, but they really need to take a moment and decide how they want to deal with it. So we all have a different way of how we best take our information in. And if we understand it, if you're getting someone on a webinar saying all these things, if you can write it down so you can do things on it later, that may help you take it in better. If you realize that when you hear it, you need to take track of what are the questions you want to follow up on, that might help you better. But we need to understand our traits and our tendencies. Because like I said, if I'm going to check my email on a webinar, I'm only cheating myself.
Hmm. Well, I know that my boss when I first started working here 11 years ago, he would get very frustrated with me during the training periods because I wouldn't take any notes. And it's because I learn by doing. The notes only get in the way for the most part. Now, did I start to do that? Yes, I did a little bit. But as I began to get more proficient, you know, the notes went by the wayside. Whereas I have a coworker who is, though he is proficient in his tasks, he is constantly checking his notes just to make sure. And that's his way. And when I train people for different tasks, this is what I tell them. I'm going to show you how I do it. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm then going to tell you the result that we want. And then I'm going to let you find your own way. I don't care if you stand on your head, as long as you get the result that we want. That's all that matters. So
that is so generous. That is so fabulous.
I give them that freedom because the bottom line is they're not going to do it the way that I do it. And I don't have a problem with that. And actually, I'll tack one other thing onto that as well. And that is that I want to share everything that I know about this. I am not territorial in that sense. I've had experiences where I became territorial. One station that I was working for, I was hired, And 2 months later, they decided to sell the station, so they started cutting the staff. And I made it through the first two cuts, if you will, in November and January, but was let go in March and then was asked to come back 2 weeks later to run the station. And I was literally running it by myself, and I was doing everything, literally. And then when they brought this other station in that they had purchased, this company that had bought the station I was running and this other station, brought them into the suite I was in, they started taking jobs away from me, the little tasks, right? And that was very threatening. Wait a minute, but that's, I do that, you know, and so forth and so on. But what I have learned over the years, not just in that experience, but even beforehand, but, you know, at that time I was solo and I was feeling great that, oh my gosh, I'm running a station all by myself. It frees me up to pursue other things. And a lot of people don't seem to understand that. And so it's like when you are seeking out someone to help you through, is that kind of a trap that some folks get into where they become so connected, if you will, to that individual that they actually do outgrow, but they don't have maybe the courage or the whatever it is, or the coach doesn't have the insight to know it's time for you. It is time for you to go, grasshopper.
I would say that's very, very true and very possible. We tend to be creatures of habit, and we can get in a rut. And my sort of way of looking at it is, if I look forward to working with you, if I look forward to our meeting, that's a good sign. If I find it's easy to clean my closet, that's a bad sign. And that's where I believe listening to yourself lets you know when you've outgrown someone, but you may want to stay with them because they become your security blanket. Mm-hmm. They may be the place that, you know, when you say, I'm going to wear a purple hat for New Year's Eve, they say, that's great. You're going to be an outstanding individual. And you may need that until next year when you can wear a chartreuse hat without asking.
So where are you today? Who is coaching you on your path, or who has that you still tend to look to give you maybe, I don't know, maybe a confirmation? Again, as I've often said, I've been to intuitives before, psychics and what have you. And it took me, and it didn't take long for me to realize that all I was doing was going to them to get confirmation of what I already knew.
I believe that's very true. I believe a lot of us know, but may not have, for whatever reason, the strength, and there I use that word after I said not to use it, but that we may not have the courage, that for whatever reason, as we grew up, or experiences have left us questioning. But we sort of know, but we need that affirmation because we're still afraid. And I don't know how the fear got there, but it stays there. I continue to work with fabulous woman who's a writing coach. I continue to work with her because of the community that is there. It has become very much a mastermind group where we encourage and support one another. I have another mastermind group that I work with where I started originally working with her in a possibility partnership, doing the work of a thought leader, and moved forward from that. And we look at, basically, we focus on gratitude and using what we're working on as a way to move our life personally and professionally, and to move through the world in gratitude. Go on.
No, well, I was going to say, you've broken your book down into three sections, parts, if you will. The one about you, which is the longest. Mm-hmm. And when we say you, folks, we're talking about you as you're reading the book. The other
not me. I know I think I may be fascinating, but I fully own I may not be that fascinating.
And then you have part two, which is about them, the coach that you're seeking out. Know thy teacher, know thyself. And then, of course, part three is success, as we talked about earlier, and all of the various aspects therein. And this is, to me, something that I think that people do need to understand, because it's so sad to hear the stories down through even my lifetime. Oh my gosh. I mean, not only did I grow up Roman Catholic, but I worked for 15 years in a Christian radio station.
Enough said.
And yeah, and well, I have to tell you, it was the greatest education I was ever paid for, because I learned, not only did I learn a little bit about broadcasting along the way, but I learned about various subjects. It was like a college, sociology and psychology and comparative religions and human behavior. Oh my gosh, human behavior. Unbelievable. Oh, yeah. I have to say that there's one gentleman who, and I still chuckle at this, and it was sad that it happened, but I still chuckle at this gentleman. He was doing a live call-in prayer program week after week after week. And he would come in, and he had a little bit of a French accent. And he referred to himself as the doctor of Christ. And I thought, why does Jesus need a doctor? You know, he's the healer, the ultimate healer. And and it just so happened that he was doing his very last broadcast, although he didn't know it at the time. And as he was going through trying to solicit phone calls as well as contributions, he lost it. And he says, "What is wrong with you people? Don't you know I'm trying to save your lousy souls?" Yeah. And that was his last broadcast. Yeah. And I thought, wow, temperament is a huge issue. But there's another aspect to this coaching I want to talk to you about.
Yes.
And that is it is the unintentional coach, but it's not conscious. And I've shared this on this program since 2016. In 2015, when the presidential campaign began, I saw the short little clip that I saw of this gentleman entering the race. I said, I don't want him, because what I saw and heard was a bully. I'd had enough of bullies in school, and I didn't want one as president. And he became president. Now, in September of 2016, I got sucked into the whole thing. From June of 2015 to that point, I didn't care. I wasn't bothered by it at all. But something triggered my attention. And all of a sudden, for the next 6 months, I got sucked in. It took me 6 months to get unsucked. But then I reached a place where I said, and this is where I talk about the unintentional teacher or coach. I was able to finally get to a place where I could say, thank you, teacher, for teaching me how I don't want to behave. A few months later, I was then able to say, I forgive you. And, more importantly, I forgive myself for allowing myself to be drawn into that whole mess. And now I don't care. I don't care anymore, because I don't want to expend my energies in that direction. What about teachers like that who are in the public light? And it doesn't matter whether it's politics, religion, education, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, they all offer us. I'm going to offer what might sound a little bit crazy, but I look upon what's going on now is the greed of the 80s gone exponential to a degree that we didn't realize, that it's almost like a pebble in our shoe that we've been walking on for 25 years, and now it's malignant. And to me, the hope is that we will sit there and ask ourselves, what are our values? We've gotten so convenient with, well, it's okay if I give a donation to this cause, but I'm horrible to these people. That we aren't fully living our values, that we've found a way to conveniently dispose of anything that's unpleasant. And values are not convenient. And my hope is that we will start asking ourselves a lot of better questions. I don't know that we are happy because we've divided ourselves as we've divided our country. We've been chasing success without understanding that success shouldn't be the goal. I really feel, believe, think that happiness is what we're all about. But we've gotten so confused by buying into other people's thoughts about what it should be. The whole concept of keeping up with the Joneses. I want everybody to have everything they could ever want in their life. But I want them to want it. I find it so interesting that when most people travel and they come home, they talk about seeing the families out for the park, or they talk about the things that we don't do anymore because we're chasing after rabbits. It's about time spent with people, and we seem to have changed that for time spent for work. And so, I really am hoping for us to start rethinking what it means to be happy. And by attaching a number to it, we do ourselves a great disservice.
I agree with you. It's funny. I'm not sure if I still have it in my wallet or not, but many years ago I was reading a book about intention and dream boards and all this kind of stuff. And so what I did was I went into Photoshop and I created this this check, and I put $5 million on the check. And I put a date when I wrote the check. I think it was 2006 or 7, something like that. And I don't have $5 million. And it's 12 years later. And I'm going, where is it? Where is it?
Yes, but you can look at it this way. You have a career you love. You have someone in your life that you want to share it with. You live in a wonderful place. You have friends that support you. You are wealthy beyond anyone's dreams. $5 million can't buy that.
And that is absolutely true. And, you know, it's interesting, too, how I've noticed the way the universe tends to, use certain events in our lives to propel us forward on our path. And I've shared this before as well, that my wife and I have been wanting to get a truck and a trailer, travel trailer, to be able to do some camping and these kinds of things and travel. And I'm sitting here going, well, I remember seeing how the universe set it up for us to move to Santa Barbara. Totally separate story. But I'm not seeing how the universe is setting this up for us to do that.
Yes.
And in November of 2018, I was involved in a car accident.
Oh.
All right. No injuries on either part of either of us. And it was just us, the two drivers. And actually, it was sort of a minor accident. It really was, all in all. When you take a look at the damage, it looked pretty bad, but it was really kind of a minor thing. However, the vehicle that I was driving, this beautiful Volvo, 2007, it was great. And it lived up to its safety reputation, especially in that instance. Again, though, I didn't think there was that much damage. But when the car was towed, I couldn't believe this. They actually towed it all the way to Van Nuys from Santa Barbara and inspected. It was declared a total loss. And it was because the parts were going to be too expensive to replace. And even as they took the car apart to put the parts in, they didn't know what they would find on the inside. And there may be more parts and more parts. And a 2007 vehicle is going to be kind of hard to find, let alone a Volvo of this, you know, model and make. And so the total loss came out. And so the car was paid off, fortunately. We were right side up on the loan based upon the value of the vehicle. Plus, we got another $2,000. By the way, we can use this as a down payment. Well, why don't we buy a truck? And there it was. And I thought, really? The universe is going to... the universe turned it around, turned it into something else. And again, thankfully, there were no physical injuries to myself or the other driver. And yet, There you go. And you just don't know how those kinds of things are going to happen. So when it comes to finding a coach for one's life, it's the same kind of thing, isn't it? You just never know who that teacher is going to be.
You don't. And it can be when you least expect it. And there is something else. There's a lot of free information out there. There are a lot of people sharing knowledge and wisdom. And you can avail yourself of that. It might help you on a task-specific journey. If you're looking at changing your life and want to do a new profession, there are all sorts of online tests and other things. Not everything has to be about money. But ultimately, what it has to be is knowing what you need and what you'll do when you get that information. Like I said, it's not enough to order it. You have to be willing to put the work in and do it too.
And there are times when people are just, you know, I've done so many other things and I don't have time. My schedule is so full. And I guess that's when it comes down where the rubber meets the road and says, how badly do you want it? And sometimes that's what the universe says. How badly do you want it?
And there are a lot of reasons for that. Sometimes we're afraid to move forward. Sometimes we may know what we want to do, but we need, for whatever reason, we're not ready yet to make that jump. Someone has to give us that, either the step stool or the hand or whatever, to give us that the ability to say, I'm going to do it. And a large part of that is sometimes I feel we need to hear from other people that it's okay to make a mistake. And honestly, the best learning comes from when you really make one heck of a mistake. You never forget to, you will never do that again. And as you recreate something, you will learn to do it better and wiser and all sorts of other things.
Yeah.
But it is. It's being willing to go, who am I, which is our diving deep within. And I really give anyone who's done the work so much credit, because it's not easy to question yourself. It's not easy to ask yourself, who am I really? It's not easy to look at yourself and go, I like to think I'm this fabulous, noble, kind, benevolent person.
Yeah.
Except if someone annoys me, I want to kick them in the shins.
There you go. And that's, again, that's part of being human. That's part of who we are. And I have to say that when I finally, and it didn't take me long to figure this out, but when I finally got a hold of the reason why I was getting so frustrated with the drivers here in California, not that if I'd stayed in Phoenix, that I would have been less annoyed. Once I realized, and again, I have high blood pressure, and they drew all of the fluids out of me they could to test to see where the problem was. Was it high cholesterol? Was it this? No. I said, you're not going to find it there. It's in my head. And someone said to me shortly thereafter, said, do you realize that these people who annoy you out there on the roads, they did not get up this morning saying, let's get Richard. It's not personal, which was a relief and a frustration. The frustration was, you mean they don't care enough about me to make it personal?
Well, and along the same vein, I realize why these non-rule following people on the road bother me so much is I really do believe in, if we've all said we're going to stop at a stop sign, we all stop at a stop sign.
Hello.
So it bothers my sense of right and wrong.
Yeah.
Well, that's my problem, because apparently they could care less, but I need to own that that's my little quirk and I need to let it go.
Yeah. And actually, I would even take it another step. Forget about right and wrong. It's just about social etiquette, if you will. It's just, I remember reading a news story about a small town that had had one stop sign. And people kept blowing through it. And the city council just had meeting after meeting trying to figure out how to resolve this problem. Well, we could put in traffic lights, you know, and then we could do this and that and the other traffic control devices. They finally came up with a solution that will blow you away. They said, you know what? we're not going to have any traffic control devices there. The drivers are on their own. And the number of accidents actually decreased.
So amazing now what consideration and courtesy will do.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a little extreme, granted, but nonetheless, that was their choice. And sometimes we need to, again, like you say, we need to let it go. And I've actually done that. And as I said, with this truck that we did end up purchasing, because it's a 3/4 ton, you know, we drive slower. Not so slow as to be a hazard on the road and inconvenience others, but I'm driving a 3/4 ton truck, and I could do some serious damage to another human being or another vehicle, let alone myself, in spite of how well it's built. If I start driving this thing as if it was a top-down convertible, you know, so that's helped me to stay focused on me and be a more courteous and considerate and responsible driver in that respect. And sometimes I think that in our lives we forget about that, and we do tend to make decisions that are not in our best interest. If you have someone who, granted, we will always have free will. But do you find that sometimes people will find a coach? I'm reading in, for example, Autobiography of a Yogi, when Paramahansa Yogananda meets his guru, Sri Yukteswar, for the second time after blowing him off, saying, "No, I'm not going to do this. I'm out of here." And he says, "Oh, you'll be back. You'll be back. But you're going to have to acquiesce." And he does. He says, "And I turn my life over to you." Is that... obviously, it's in the context of this individual's culture. But is that something that is talk to us a little bit about that? How far should we be going with one of these coaches?
That is such a fabulous question, and I would say, by my way of thinking, when you're on a faith-driven quest, I believe you need to be open and completely receptive. And until something may not fit right, and then discuss it. But if something else doesn't fit right, then question, and then it may be time to say thank you. When you're working with someone professionally, I would say having very clear objectives is what you need. And so that way you both are able to meet each other's needs. The other part of that is, if I want you to improve my advertising, came to mind, and I don't work with you on it, then why did I hire you? If I'm so busy second guessing you, I don't allow your work to do what it needs to do. And I've already said I don't know what to do, so why would I limit this? For more interpersonal coaching and where am I going in my life, I believe we need to be open to what people say, but I always have a little bit of trouble with the cult of personality. I think there are a lot of incredible people out there that benefit us and benefit our life and can give us a lot of wisdom and insights. But I'm not sure how comfortable I am with turning over and becoming a groupie of someone. Maybe it's follower and groupie mean the same to people, but a follower, a devotee to me means I really appreciate and value what you have to offer. A groupie to me means I don't care what you do, I'm there.
Mm-hmm. And we have that happening a lot these days, mm-hmm. And in a way, it is a little scary. But again, we all have free will. We all have that free will to do what we will. And I guess I think too about, and one of the things that came to my mind as we started this conversation at the beginning of this program, Jonestown,
Yes.
And that, what was it, 900 people, men, women, and children, mm-hmm. Followed him down to Guyana, you know, and you know, when you first start reading about this, it seems great, you know, it seems to be Bible-based, it seems to be very loving and Christian and this and that and the other, and of course, the outcome is anything but. And we have that happen in so many different situations. When the Hale-Bopp comet came rolling through our part of the universe. Mm-hmm. What was it? Back in the 80s, I think it was. But people tie into different events. I can only imagine what was going on in regards to the Mayan calendar, quote-unquote, coming to an end in 2012. You know, and I kept telling people, it's going to be the same as Y2K. Nothing. At least not on a material level. you know, so yeah, we in addition to having free will, but we also have to exercise some discernment, don't we?
Oh, most definitely. And as you were saying that, I was thinking that in the instances you were mentioning, it was all about fear.
Yeah.
And perhaps seeing things that offer hope or acceptance or love might be a clue that this is something that helps elevate you to where you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, again, it's all about choices. We talk about that. We give people choices and knowledge of those choices to help them make their dreams come true.
And I want everyone to have their dreams come true.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I sometimes feel that we get so caught up chasing someone else's dream.
Yes.
That
yes.
We don't get to fully realize our dreams.
What are your dreams? What is first and foremost on Melinda's mind as a dream that she wants to see come to fruition, come to light?
Well, I'd say on the immediate forefront would, of course, be my garden, because that is always an exercise in hope and belief. But what I really, if I had to, my all-time big altruistic noble goal would be for us to really understand the difference of success and happiness, that success can be chased, but happiness is something that comes from within, that it's not about the size of the house or the car you drive. It's about so many other things. Now, you can be very happy in a beautiful new truck, and it certainly is a success that you got to get that, but but when we limit it, we don't see things in other areas. There's intangible success. If I smile at you and you feel better, that's an intangible success. No one can take that away from me.
Yeah.
There are so many interactions throughout the day that have a beautiful afterlife that we don't think about. But if we're only thinking about, I need to get the sale, I need to get the job, I need to get this, we become so fixated on only one vision of success that we forget there are all these other little things that throughout the day are beautiful other forms of success that actually end up giving happiness. Or if you're emotionally successful, and I don't think a lot of us think about that, but if you can know your emotions, if you can own your emotions, I'm okay if I cry in public. I've gotten so that I can mop my eyes and not look like a raccoon.
Well, most of us guys don't have to worry about that, but nonetheless, we aren't going to cry in public because it's not the thing to do. It's not macho.
I've always thought that a gentleman being able to be open with that is one of the greatest gifts a man can give because it says they trust and they're comfortable.
Yeah.
With you, with their environment, with the setting, with who they are. And I respect that because it is often unfair, the sense of success to be a man that is placed on you, and equally so the idea of success for women.
Hmm. Well, I know that as a kid growing up, when we would watch certain television programs, yeah, I would get, I would tear up. Little House on the Prairie
Lassie.
Is one of them. Yeah, that too. Melinda Kelly, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program, and I want to remind our listeners your website is melindajkelly.com. We will be linked to it as well to guide people towards the work that you're doing in regards to finding your coach, diving deep within, and we really do appreciate it. Should you find yourself here on the Central Coast of California and Santa Barbara, we'd love to have you in studio to continue this conversation, because there really is a lot more to talk about and a lot of other things that we can discuss as well.
Thank you so much for just such a delightful, delightful hour.
And before we let you go, I want to remind our listeners, again, it's melindajkelly.com. Again, it's Finding Your Coach. And we encourage you to go to her website. We will be linked to it as well. A reminder that when you're on the SoundCloud podcast, it's that little grocery card in the upper right-hand corner of the player that is the link to our guest's website. If you're listening to this interview, click on that little grocery cart. It's not for purchasing anything. It's for taking you to her website or any of our guests' websites as you're listening to these podcasts. Also, a reminder, too, that if you're listening to the radio broadcast, there's more. There's much more of this program. So we encourage you to go to the podcast locations, SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Stitcher, as well as the homepage and the radio shows page of richarddugan.com. And Melinda, before we let you go, three final questions as we wrap up this this edition of Tell Me Your Story. And the first question is, who is Melinda Kelly?
I like to think she's a very good friend, someone who believes in her community, who is a kind soul, and who enjoys life with a great passion and purpose.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I would love for us to really start to seriously consider success and happiness separately, collectively, and in more dimensions than we currently do.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
I suppose to be a happy little soul and make others equally so, to spread a little bit of love and joy and sunshine.
Very good. Melinda Kelly, thank you again for joining us, and we do look forward to having you back on the program later in the year.
Thank you so very much.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.